WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this: the result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Go, money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Cut the chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no money.
It's a Monday night. You know what that means. It's a Raw Post Show presented always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. I am Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward.
Hey, we're here, we're live for episode 2 of the Paul Heyman era.
And it had consistency. It had a story throughout. It just didn't have that blowaway moment that you had last week. It was a good show, but it wasn't a great show. It wasn't as edgy. It was there. It pushed everything that it needed to push. It pushed the matches on the pay-per-view. They did Beat the Clock Challenge, where Nikki Cross and Bayley both had matches to determine who would be able to pick the stipulation, whether it would be Alexa Bliss or Bayley. Alexa's out sick, which is why Nikki wrestled in her place this evening. And she decided, after beating Dana Brooke and beating the clock, that she would make the match a 2-on-1 handicap match, as she's going to help her friend Alexa win the championship. And because Bayley doesn't know what friendship is like, because she doesn't have a real friend like her and Alexa are. They're not real friends.
Ew.
Basically was the gist. Which
shots fired.
Which means only one thing.
Somebody's on their way back, potentially.
The boss is on her way back.
To feud with Nikki and Alexa, potentially. But, you know, that was a good segment. I liked that. This was very much the, we are building to Extreme Rules. It's on Sunday. We have to put together Go Home to sell all the matches that are already set up for it. And then once they come out of Extreme Rules, I feel like we're going to kind of get back on track a little bit. Not that they got off track tonight, but tonight was not nearly as
it was not
exciting as what it was last week. And I think because some of the buzz has worn off, that is, like, last week it was like, okay, well, Paul Heyman just going right to work. He's going to have input on Raw. And that Paul Heyman feeling was still there very much. Like, you can tell he is still running the show. There's a very different perspective going into the way that the show is being written. And I still very much enjoyed it, but it was a less exciting show because, again, they have to build the storylines and get them ready for the pay-per-view. I will say one of the things that I didn't like, but I get why they did it, was the Bobby Lashley stuff.
All right, we'll get there in 2 seconds, okay? Let me finish the Bayley and Nikki stuff. The slap was awesome that Bayley put on Nikki, and Nikki firing right back. That was good. Getting right back up in her face and then taking the Bayley. That was good. I like that. Also, Bayley beat Sarah Logan. Rey Mysterio came out, and he's back. He's ready to go. He has an open challenge, and then Lashley shows up. All right, go.
So, last week, as we all saw, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley went through the stage. They went through the electrical area. There were sparks. There were flashes. There were pyro. And the two had to be carted off to a hospital. or a medical facility, depending, take your pick, to be treated. This week you have Bobby Lashley come out and just absolutely take out Rey Mysterio, use him like a human lawn dart, and destroy him on national television.
Which you could say, vintage Rey Mysterio.
Yep. It's honestly, I hate saying this about Rey, but one of the best things Rey does is get beat up. And because he just sells it like he's like a champ. Mm-hmm. Like every time he looks just, he makes whoever's beating him up look super, super good. So it's like if you need a classic beatdown, you go get Rey Mysterio. Either to beat the person down or be beaten down. Either way, he can do both. He's very talented like that. I will say this, that even though I didn't like that they had Bobby Lashley basically be fine a week after they did the whole going through the stage segment, I loved how he was written. I loved how he was presented. Paul Heyman knows how to do monsters. He knows how to build people to just be terrifying if they need to be terrifying, and that's exactly what they did for Bobby Lashley, is they finally gave him that grit that he's needed for a while now, that they tried to give him with Lio Rush and it just didn't work, and now it's just they had him come out and destroy somebody, which is really what he should have been doing this entire time. Is it's like, I don't care, I don't give a damn, I'm just gonna beat people up because I can, because this is what I want, and until you give me what I want, I'm just gonna start taking people out, a la what Braun did back in his heel run.
He was known as the Destroyer Bobby Lashley for a while. That should be his role.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a waste of Rey Mysterio, honestly, though.
It is a little bit of a waste, but again...
Oh, also, I'm not very excited over Rey Mysterio return. He does nothing for me at this stage of the game. It was cool that he showed up in that Royal Rumble that one time, and it was cool, but...
But I feel like if he helps to get younger talent over, then...
That's fine.
His job is done there. Like, I think at this point he's there partially for the money because he wants the payday, and partially to also foster that next generation of wrestling. And, you know, there's a lot of really, really, really good talent in WWE right now that Rey has never worked with.
But young talent is the key. But last feud was Samoa Joe, who's not young. And
but they're trying to build him into a star in WWE. Oh, he already is one, but they're trying to make him into a star. Same thing for Bobby Lashley.
Oh yeah, he was also not young. I don't know, it was like, Ray's back and then he gets beat up. It is what it is. They'll figure out a way to rebuild him, because it's Ray. We must rebuild Rey Mysterio. Speaking of being people up, Cesaro beat No Way Jose in a minute.
Poor No Way Jose.
The Viking Raiders beat up two dudes. That was a thing.
That was a thing. That happened.
That happened on the show. It was.
What happened afterwards was more interesting than the Viking Raiders match, sadly. But I do appreciate that they're trying to get the Viking Raiders on TV. They're trying to make them look as dominant as possible. So you're just having them beat people up for the sake of beating people up. Like, I'm totally fine with that.
So one of the themes throughout the night was the 24/7 championship. And Drake Maverick. I don't know why I said Drew. Drake Maverick showed up with his lovely wife, and they were in. He was in a box, and she was sitting on the box, making look out, and all that fun stuff. And you know, he promised to take her on the honeymoon she deserves. And then she said, "Then and only then will we consummate our marriage." He starts screaming about doing his wife, and then everyone showed up. So the chase was on throughout the night. You know, R-Truth in the box as well, next to him. At one point, trying to get to him, and you know, the whole gang. Now tell about the thing you said in the ring with all of them. It was what? It was R-Truth up in the face of the Viking Raiders, I believe.
Yeah, and it's like, truth, no. Honey, no. Just don't try to take that on. And he very wisely decides not to, and so he grabs Carmella, and they run off after Drake Maverick. I liked how they did this. I more like how Drake Maverick has parlayed this into an on-screen role for his wife.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, the Truth giving the piggyback ride later to the referee was great.
Oh, that was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious.
That was a great theme. Ricochet beat Luke Gallows. Ricochet beat Carl Anderson. And then got beat up by the club. Styles got on the mic and said, "I'm a good guy." And then told Ricochet he needs to stay down on Sunday. He got back up, and they laid him out again. It's good. They're building Ray and AJ and Ricochet really well. And also, it was cool that Ricochet put over Evolve in his promo.
It was very cool. Felt a little bad for him during this, because they just, like, just destroyed him.
Yeah, but it works for TV.
It works for TV, but it's just like, it's like, oh honey, please stay down. Please stay down.
Then there's everything with Maria and Mike and the pregnancy and him trying to get her food and her having hormones and everything like that.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan of this. It hasn't grown on me yet. I don't know if it's going to grow on me. No pun intended. But I mean, I think it's a little early to be doing the crazy pregnant lady. But then again, I don't know how long she's going to be around before she has to go out, because she is really pregnant, y'all. In case you didn't know, in case you hadn't figured it out, that is legit. She is actually pregnant. They've worked the pregnancy into the storyline for Mike. And I mean, honestly, I can't like hate him because he's trying to be the good husband, right? It's like his wife's pregnant. So he's trying to, you know, he brings her flowers and then he brings her the classic pickles and ice cream. And she's like, look what you've done to me. As if, you know, it's something horrific that she's pregnant and she's going to get bigger and deliver a beautiful baby into this world, because let's be real, they're both pretty people. And yeah, so it's like, I'm not sure about this. Like, I'm just not 100% sure on this.
We'll see where it goes. Let's see what else happened on this show. Oh yeah, Paul Heyman teased that Brock could cash in his Money in the Bank on Sunday, but also mentioned that he's built up some credibility on his spoilers since WrestleMania 30, and you know, maybe he's telling the truth, but maybe he built up all this just so credibility so that when he lies, you never know.
You never know. Brock could be there or Brock could not be there. You just gotta wait and see.
Also, he mentioned he knows a little something about Extreme in Philadelphia. I mean, I don't know why.
I'm not sure why he would mention that. I mean, I don't think he has any real connection there. He's just, you know, screwing with people.
Yeah, he's screwing around. He's never done a thing in Philadelphia, ever. I mean,
ever.
Wink,
wink.
Nudge. Also, the Street Profits are network hype men.
Go them! Hey, it gets them on TV. Not gonna argue.
I mean, gets them on TV, but I don't know.
I just can't tell if they're like being fully called up or if they're just doing this for the sake of doing it.
Heyman likes them. Like, that's the thing. Heyman likes them, so he got them up on TV. They're coming off to me like Crime Time, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, we'll have to see what they do with them.
I'm not sure.
But they could infuse some much needed talent into the tag division, which is a good thing.
Yeah, there's that. We had a first hour in the ridiculous stipulations. We had a 2 out of 3 falls match. A 2 out of 3 falls 6-man tag team matchup with The Miz and The Usos taking on The Revival and Elias. Elias walked down The Revival, so it became a 2-on-3 handicap match, basically. Revival won the first fall, then they came back from break. This is their way to get the break. And the babyfaces won the next two falls and to win the match. Okay, whatever.
There were a lot of stips tonight. Granted, they got a ton of talent on the show, which is great, but there were a lot of stipulations.
Because you can't wrestle during the commercial, so we gotta do the stipulations. And oh my god, Twitter throws a fit. Oh my god, why are they doing this? Because they don't want the Russell during commercial. It's stupid. I get it. We all get it. We all know it's stupid. We all know the how stupid the stipulations are, especially in the opening match. It was Becky and Seth versus Andrade and Zelina, which was promoted as a main event, which opened the show in a elimination matchup.
To be fair, the match was really, really good.
That, yes, but illogical. Because, okay, Becky got the fall on Zelina. Since it's mixed tag rules, Becky can't fight anymore. Becky fought Lacey, Seth had to break it up, we went to commercial. What if Andrade beats Seth?
He's your new number one contender.
No, who wins the match?
Andrade?
Why?
He doesn't. Cause
if Becky won one fall and Andrade won another, who wins the match?
Nobody.
That's how illogical the idea was on paper. They won both falls, so it didn't matter. But from a logic standpoint, it made no sense, basically, you know? So, it was a really good match. It was very enjoyable. Give me more Seth Rollins and Andrade. That'd be great. They then got beat up by Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans, who did a promo afterwards, sending messages for Sunday. You had Corey Graves later do an interview with Becky and Seth where Becky just ripped into Corey Graves and told her side of the story and how they're not going to, like, Corey was trying to rile them up, trying to stir the pot a little bit. So it was like, you know, it is what it is. So, but her promo was good. Also, what was the chain Baron Corbin was wearing?
It was a very flashy gold chain, I think, to compete with all the sparkle and dazzle that Lacey Evans has going on all the time. You know, accessories are important.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry. The more I see them together, the more I really like them together.
They're a great pairing. Oh, the pairing works really well.
I kind of wish they took her look just a little bit further closer to his. I'm not saying she has to do the whole tattoo thing, but it's like what she wore last week with the rockabilly look with the pants and the heels and everything worked. This week it was like it was okay, but I feel like if they kind of went a little bit more closer to match each other, it would just be that little extra nice piece. Like, not full on, he doesn't have to go full vintage, or she doesn't have to go full biker, but just a little something more to tie them together. But I really, really, really like this pairing. They just do something nice together that wasn't there before.
And then this Sunday, live on the WWE Network, The Undertaker returns to the ring to team up with Roman Reigns to take on Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. But tonight on Raw, it was going to be Shane and Drew versus Roman Reigns and a partner of Shane's choice. Throughout the night, Shane walked up to different concession workers, or people who work in the building, to be the partner for Roman Reigns. There was a janitor, there was a beer guy, and there was one other person. I forget who it was. But he walked up trying to offer them money to be the partner. So if Undertaker got involved tonight, he would be out of the match on Sunday. So we get to the main event. Shane chooses Gary Garbutt, a janitor who apparently won a spelling bee and some other stuff. So there's that. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So Roman's in the match. He gets blind tagged by Gary as, for whatever reason, like, he backed up in the corner and the referee said he was tagged in. And Shane was like, gonna just work over him. And then this dude Gary just starts showing he's a wrestler. He can fight. He does a springboard. It was a little clumsy, but I think that was on purpose after knowing what happened afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a nice, you know, flip dive to the outside. So it's like, okay, this guy can work. All right, cool. But then he ate a claymore kick, 1, 2, 3, and Shane and Drew survived the match. Shane got the announcement that they won the match. Roman Reigns takes off the mask. It was Cedric Alexander to Cricket.
I felt a little bad for him because it's like the second he started pulling out the moves, it's like, all right, who is that?
For a second,
who is that? Because it's somebody.
I thought it was Leo Rush for a second. But it's like, no way, he's a little too big for Leo Rush. And I was like, alright, so they got somebody. It was cool. I mean, it was fine. Like I said, they set up all the matches. They pushed everything they can tonight. They aired some video packages for the matches that are on SmackDown and whatever. Overall, it was a solid show. You can tell the edict for the commercial break is stupid. The stipulation matches. You know, we all know that's stupid. We all know it's stupid. But you also know they have to end these current stories. Like, they have to come to a conclusion before you can create new ones.
Yep.
So before Heyman can get a full control over the direction, you have to tie up what's been already being produced. And you don't know when these are going to tie up. Whether they tie up on Sunday, whether they tie up at SummerSlam, and then you go on from there. We'll have to wait and see. Was this a great go-home? No. Was it a bad go-home? It was average. It did what it needed to do. Be interesting to see what they do on SmackDown.
It will be. It'll be very interesting to see how they follow this up on SmackDown. But yeah, I mean, this was a solid go-home for Raw. Like you said, they have to tie up some storylines for this show. And then once they do that, it's kind of full steam ahead to SummerSlam and creating new stories. What was interesting, at least based on what I saw, was there were no puppet sightings tonight. So, no Firefly Funhouse, no Bray Wyatt, even though it is the anniversary that Bray Wyatt debuted today. He didn't show up in any way, shape, or form. There were no mentions, there were no nothing. So, I would say this, because we were talking about this earlier, is that they not that I'm in any position to tell them to do anything, but I'd like to see Bray on TV sooner rather than later, because I feel like if he doesn't show up, he's going to lose the momentum that he has, and that's no bueno. Not after all the work and all the time that they've put in on this character. It would be an absolute shame if they lose the momentum.
But that's a topic for another day. This has been the Raw Pusher live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The Rack is not live this week. Repeat, the Rack is not live this week, but...
But it is going to be taped.
There is a show that will be available on Thursday.
Yes, I have to travel for work, unfortunately, and I'm going to be gone on Thursday overnight, so sadly we can't do a live show, but we are going to tape a little something-something for you guys, because we took last week off for 4th of July, we don't want to miss 2 weeks, and well, there's a pay-per-view on Sunday. We want to talk about it, so you know what? We're going to talk about Extreme Rules, we're also going to do a little SmackDown. Not sure if we're doing any news or Tweet of the Week or anything like that, just kind of depends on how much time we have, but we are for sure talking about SmackDown and Extreme Rules. So it's The Rack, available on Thursday for your listening pleasure, and then we will resume the normal show next week, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So there's the update. I can also say this. There may be Fortnite with friends on Thursday. I don't know.
I won't be there.
If me and Brent feel like doing it, we'll do it.
You and Brent should totally do it. You should get Omega and do the thing. Or is he elsewhere?
He's at the con.
Okay, so he's at the con. But yeah, if Rock and Brent want to do it, totally do it.
So we don't know yet. We'll figure out what happens Thursday. Stay tuned to the Facebooks and the Twitters and all that fun stuff. Saturday night, midnight, it's just CB Radio. What are we doing this week? Oh, we're doing Summer Blockbusters, the 90s edition. Saturday night, midnight at SuperAlive.com. SuperAlive on Facebook and Twitter. So Wrestle Talk Radio will be live Sunday to review Extreme Rules. I'll be there. I know that. I'll be there.
Yay?
I'll be there. I'll talk about it. Sunday night.
He may be by himself. We don't know yet.
There's a post show I'll be hosting. Yay. Let's tune in. Wrestle Talk Radio. Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Push, 11 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio on Facebook. On Twitter, Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. Twitch.tv/WTLive. Follow and subscribe. If you have an Amazon Prime account, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the channel and stuff like that. Prime Day is coming up, too, so get your Amazon Primes ready. Use credit code ROCKETSUCK in the Fortnite item shop. This has been the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Plug your socials.
You can follow me on almost all the social medias at Lins Ward, LANSWARD.
We'll see you Thursday for The Rack and live. Right back here every Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, along the airways on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.